I never wear. The man is in Fort Worth where they are killing it and they don't want to leave. So we keep books a date so that they'll leave Cowtown now. On to your favorite podcast where we bring all of our hot takes for you. Move over, don't cry for me, Argentina, and Viva Las Vegas, and Budapest, and Detroit Rock City, and Save Me San Francisco, and Pompeii, and Paris, and Carolina on my mind, and Georgia on my mind, and the Midnight Train of Georgia. It's time for season three of Girls of Five Eva. This is Adam H. from Sex. Oh my gosh, here we are here with season three of Girls of Five Eva. What a fun time. What a fun time this is. I'm so excited to get into this new G5E. Just dropped, just recently. This is brand new content, fresh off of the Netflix press. And of course, I am not alone. I am joined by two of my very good friends. First and foremost, someone who could absolutely be able to spot the difference between these two pictures. It's Lindy, TV Lindy. How are you?
Podcast door open. Okay, I'm here.
It's here, season three. Some said we would never get here. I don't. Maybe
no
I don't
one know. Said that.
No one said that. Yeah.
I'm still so excited about this. Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is so exciting. And of course, let's bring in our third member of the team here, Todd. I love you. Nah, prank. Let me draw you.
I just don't know how to respond to any of that. I'm just gonna leave.
It's okay. While you were sleeping, I wrote you the song.
Adam, Todd has a meeting right now. Okay.
Yeah, I have a meeting. I have a meeting down in FOWO. I'm only like 45 minutes from FOWO. So,
that's where deals get done. So should I get him balloons? Oh my gosh. Wow. Jeez. What a time this is. Season three of Girls Five Ever. I have to be honest with you. I really enjoyed this episode. I am stoked for season three. I don't know, like, from a song perspective, that we are maybe at the top of the charts per se. And you know what? That's okay, because I do think from a writing perspective, we are right there. We are at the best of the best in terms of the lines and what these characters are delivering. I'm so excited to get into it. I had the opportunity to watch this with Sarah, who is not even remotely caught up in season two. Let's be honest with ourselves here. She's not fully caught up. She loved this premiere for season three. So I'm very excited about all of this. I'm excited to get into it, both of you. Todd, did we miss anything here from season two to season three? Are you happy with how we started?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with how I started. I don't think I'm as in love with the episode as you are, but I still really enjoyed it. I still think it was a fun start. I thought there was like some really good bits throughout the episode. So I don't know. I'm sad that the season is only six episodes. Mm. I think if I have one, not really a big complaint, I got to see like how the whole season plays out, but with only six episodes, spending this entire episode just with them all spinning their wheels, I'm just going to be curious to see how, if at some point we're like, wow, I wish they could have gotten things like jump-started a little bit sooner, because there's not a whole lot of real estate. But overall, I thought it was like a good use of Dawn. I thought this is probably like one of the better Dawn storylines for me, even though it's kind of treading on some stuff that we've had from before, but I think it was done in a way that wasn't as annoying as some of the previous Dawn stuff. So no, I thought it was a good episode, but I still wouldn't qualify it as this, like, a great episode. Personally.
Okay, fair enough. I certainly think it's like up there. Again, besides the songs, we'll certainly get into that. Lindy, how was the premiere of season three for you?
I thought it was really fun. I think I was just really excited to get new Girls Five Eva because I watched season one and two like when they came out. So it's been a long time since I was watching new Girls Five Eva. So this is really exciting to me. This is like the first time I've been covering a show that I haven't seen the rest of the season. I don't know what's going to happen. This is new territory. It's very exciting.
It's a wild time. It's a wild boat to be in where you don't really know what's coming and you just kind of have to say it. Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, maybe we do that on another podcast, but on One Indescribable podcast, that hasn't happened.
Well, yeah, I'm not even just talking about previously on where that happens. That's just like a normal show where, you know, people podcast about it, but that's okay. Fair enough. A non-rewatch podcast, as it were. Speaking of non-rewatch podcasts, although not really, because we have a lot of those, we've launched Whirlwind. This is the launch of Whirlwind Podcast, the first like actual podcast that's going to be dropping in the Whirlwind podcast feed is this one right here. Lindy, what do you have to say to the people who are here looking for Whirlwind? Be like, what the heck is this? What have I found here? What have I stumbled upon?
You've stumbled upon a lot of fun, I hope. We have fun here, so we hope you have fun listening. We're glad you're here, whether you've been, you know, listening to One Indescribable Podcast from day one or day 72 or day whatever, or this is day one, this is your first time, whatever. Welcome to the Whirlwind, welcome to the fun.
Yeah, day 72 would have been what, CXG season one episode 10, give or take.
Sure.
I don't even know. That's season one, way back in season one. Maybe that was like around the bus time with my.
I was going to say the party bus.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. We're like, that probably wasn't what episode 10 was, but it's got to be like close to around that area. Anyway, we have so much going on at Whirlwind. Of course, this is just the launch. There's going to be podcasts all throughout this week and all throughout every week. There's so much happening. We have previously on Shameless is where we're starting. Spoiler alert, Todd. We have recorded all of season one of Shameless over the course of 2 days and are now watching the first season to go back. What a wild ride that's been. You're going to get that twice a week. Any little teaser for Shameless, anything you want to let the people know about?
Frank's the worst. Yeah. I think that's a no spoiler alert, but Frank's the worst. I think is that. I think there were different. There's several things in the show where I'm like, what have I signed up for? What have I signed myself up to be talking about right now? So
yeah,
there's some fun moments there. It's also my first time to be on that side of things where I'm trying to come up with like crazy theories about a show. It was kind of freeing actually to just like go, okay, I'm just going to spell off the craziest thing I can without caring if it's going to be true or not. And it was it's a lot of fun. I think we were having a lot of fun with that one. I hope everyone has a good time listening to it.
Yeah, and you also, of course, had the luxury of having someone with you on the podcast who will always spout something crazier than anything that you are saying. So that's got to be freeing as well. That's a ton of fun. Todd, you also have Tuning In with you and Tommy premiering this week. I am very excited to listen to that.
Yeah, so Tommy and I are both big fans of cartoons, animation of all types. So we're going to be doing every 2 weeks, we're going to drop an episode and we'll be talking about cartoons in all sorts of different ways. But more like broadly, we're not going to be doing like an episode by episode rewatch or new watch. We'll be talking about like full seasons of shows, or we'll be talking about themes of things. But to kick it off, we're going to be talking about the first season of the 1990s X-Men the Animated Series cartoon.
Okay, Papa, I'm so excited to listen to that. I might never watch the show, and you know that's just going to be what it is. But I will absolutely listen to the conversation. We also have Whirlwind Investigations, where Melissa and I are going through Veronica Mars. We have so many fun takes on Veronica Mars. Lindy, you certainly got a shout out in the first podcast as the one who gets to take credit for me discovering Veronica Mars, and you also get to take credit for having some of the worst Veronica Mars opinions I've ever seen in my life. So it's really the highs and the lows.
I'm going to consider that a net positive, although
yeah. Okay.
I can't wait to listen to that. I'm excited to hear how wrong you are about Logan, and I'm excited to come on later in the season and explain why you're wrong, but we'll get there.
Yeah, you better have like a PowerPoint ready. Get your dissertation ready, because it's going to take a lot.
Ready.
Because Melissa and I are putting in the legwork to make sure that the people are with us as they're going along. If anyone's even remotely on the fence before listening to the podcast, you won't be afterwards. That I can promise you. We're also doing Inside the TARDIS. We're continuing our coverage of Doctor Who with season 6. That's going to be a ton of fun as well with myself, Melissa, and Kevin. Is there anything else I'm forgetting to plug here? That's what we got going on, right? Anything else on Whirlwind?
Nope, that's all that we have for the moment, but we definitely have ideas about other things to do in the future, so we are not going to be resting on our laurels. There's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of just friends talking about stuff that they love with people they love and just having a great time doing it.
Amazing.
That's the Whirlwind motto.
We love it. We really do love it. That's really the point. That's really why we're all here. That's why we started One Indescribable Podcast, like, what, 3-some years ago, almost at this point. We're at like 150 episodes, give or take. Like, we're way up there in terms of this One Indescribable Podcast. We're excited for this next journey. Come join us at Whirlwind Pods on Twitter and Instagram, whirlwindpodcast.com. You can check out our website, of course, Whirlwind Podcast, and whatever podcatcher you're using. Go find us. Go catch up on all of our fun. We have so much going on. That being said, you can, of course, still find us here every single week at One Indescribable Podcast. If you're in this feed, that's all that's going to be here. So you can still find us at One Indescribable Podcast. But we got so much going on. We're so excited about all of this. And it's starting right here. Season 3, episode one of Girls Forever is where we are kicking things off, and I think it's a great place to kick things off here. Let's get into it. Let's get into the episode, the premiere of season three of Girls 5 Eva. Lindy, for the first time this season, if you would, take it away.
So excited. So the title of this episode is Fort Worth, because that is the location of this episode. Girls 5 Eva is doing a sold out show in Fort Worth. They're singing their Fort Worth song, and we see a news clip of them on First Things Fort with Jackie Worth. And Fort and Worth are highlighted in that title. And they're talking to this interviewer. Wiki's saying they're going to add more cities to the tour. Dawn's talking about missing her family. Gloria's talking about how she's looking for women now that she's on a tour and not in the closet. And Summer is really nervous for some reason about ruining the tour.
Yeah, and like Summer like grabs a drink from the host and just starts chugging it. And Gloria's like, it's like 7 a.m. or something. It's like early in the morning. That was like right here. I'm like, okay, why is Summer so nervous? I initially thought it had something to do with like her like being worried about Stevia or gonna be like a Kev situation, but it had nothing to do with that. And I was actually happy it had nothing to do with that. I was like nervous about where that was headed. And when we got the reveal, I was so relieved. I was so relieved it wasn't going to be like rehashing the worries she had at the end of last season. So yay.
Yeah, and it definitely felt like that's where it was going too. I was also worried. I was like, man, we're just gonna get right back. When Summer like started being coy right at the very beginning, I was like, oh boy, like here we go again. We're doing this. But no, thank goodness. Good stuff for Summer. Kind of, I guess.
A couple of funny things in the scene. A Wiki holds up their Returnity World Tour shirt and turns over the back to the locations, and it's just Fort Worth. She's like, we're gonna add more cities as we go, and then no further questions. And then Dawn as well is like, you know, this is the first time I've been away from my family since I got trapped for a weekend in a Marshall's bathroom stall. Oh, Dawn. Yeah, weekend?
Yeah. But also, I don't know if it's true if you count the whole writing retreat. So I think Dawn has some revisionist history there.
Well, she wasn't alone there. She was with that. That was a work trip, Todd. That was, I don't know.
So what is this?
I don't know.
We don't know when the Marshall's bathroom stall happened.
That well, she said like how many retreat. She said it was like years ago, I thought. So I felt like it was like before the girls got back together.
But Marshall's is open on the weekends. Yeah. Like that's not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the stalls, I don't, you could crawl under or over. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems like a willing, like she found herself here. I was like, oh, I guess.
I guess I should seize the opportunity here now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we see the next morning, they're at their hotel having breakfast, and Gloria is, she has this giant spreadsheet of all these types of women she wants to go after, and she's checking off one that she was with last night. And Wiki is trying to get everyone in tour mode, but everyone else kind of just wants to stay. They're staying at the Marriott Divorced Dad's Suitelets, which is just amazing. We'll talk about that. But there is a vending machine there with wrapped kids' birthday presents. Love that detail. And, you know, Dawn doesn't want to rush things. And she brings up the example of Wiki's album Yesternights. She says that was rushed. Well, we see a clip of that. And so Wiki, thinking back on that, agrees to stay in Fort Worth for now.
Normally I like when they do like some of these flashbacks, like with the, you know, Yesternight stuff. This one like did not maybe work as well for me. All of the Yesternight stuff was a little, I don't know, like that just, it didn't play for me as well as I wanted it to. And I don't really know why. Like this was like the down part of the episode for me. I really enjoyed almost everything else, but the Wiki flashbacks were weird. The Wiki present day was great, but the Wiki flashbacks were like, I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad necessarily, but just like, you know, usually Wiki flashbacks are full of her being like over the top Wiki, and this wasn't her being over the top Wiki. This is her being on her back foot and being kind of uncertain of herself and trying to make it work, but it's not the Wiki that I like to see. I think that's part of it. Like the humor wasn't like your classic Wiki humor, so it kind of not quite what you were expecting there.
It's interesting because I worked for me. I thought it was funny. You know, she's singing all these unfinished lyrics, basically. And there's a second clip later, but Wiki turns around and the dress is only like covering the front, and they're like, "I told you not to turn around." I admittedly thought that was funny.
I did like that part. That was the funny part, but that was like less Wiki doing something, and that was just more of like a "this is like happening" kind of to Wiki. But that was very
well.
Funny.
She turned around, even though she knew.
Well, she had to salvage the situation. Sometimes you gotta show a little ass to get, you know, some something. Like, she, you know, gotta go for it. You know.
So Gloria with her spreadsheet. I paused and I wrote down the entire list of types. Oh my gosh. That Gloria has listed there of the types of women that she is looking for. And this is only page one. Like, this is like what we saw. She had a lot more, but here are some examples of things that were on Gloria's list. Sequester juror, pilot, Uber driver, Uber pool driver, Susan Saran Dom. And there's a dash between Saran and Dom. Tar with an accent, like the movie Tar with Kate Blanchett as Lydia Tar, the conductor. Old Cara Delevingne, QLC, parentheses, quarter life crises, Fencer, parentheses, sport, Fencer, parentheses, fences, incorrectly sorted Hufflepuff,
yeah.
Pre-Friends Courtney Cox type, during Friends Courtney Cox type, post-Friends Courtney Cox type, a femme Mr. Peanut, short Peg Bundy, a Mary Louise, parentheses, most common first and middle name in the U.S., and my personal favorite, corn-fed Xena.
Oh my gosh.
What a list.
Wow. I really love all three iterations of Courtney Cox. That's very funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to pause down and write down all of those to share. But I think my favorite thing in this whole opening thing is the divorced dad suitelets that they're staying at. Just the absurdity of that. Like, everyone else there is like a divorced dad and the vending machine. And they mentioned it. I mentioned the vending machine with the birthday presents. God's like, "Oh crap, thanks, I forgot. Is it the 28th? And someone's like, "It's the 5th. It's just
yikes.
So much disdain in her voice. And then later on, it's like, "Do you think that G3 is one that a 15-year-old girl would like?" And someone's like, "No, try C7. Or it's like, no, basically, Summer knows what to get.
How do they know if it's wrapped?
I mean, Summer has a gift.
Yeah, I don't know.
Summer has a gift for gifts. Summer has a shopping gift.
Yeah, I thought this was so funny. I think details like this were why I really enjoyed this episode. Like, I feel like they were really going for it with all the jokes. And I just loved how they fit in all this stuff. This hotel. Like, why are they staying there? Like, Gloria's like, "Oh, because of my points." Like, why do you have points for the divorced dad's suite?
Well, they probably got the point conversion pretty cheap. I mean staying in a normal hotel is like not very cheap when it comes to credit card points, but staying at the Garbo, like, you know, dad divorced whatever hotel, that's got to be a pretty good point value.
It's the Marriott divorced dad suite.
I mean that's a good, yeah, that's good value right there. You can't be staying at like a rando Courtyard. That's going to be double the points. If you get the divorced dad suitelets, then you're good to, yeah, go.
Oh, another thing in this scene, whenever Gloria comes in and she's like checking in on her one night stand, Dawn's asking, "Why are you checking on a one night stand?" And Summer asks, "Did she steal your wigs and medication? Kev did that on our first date."
Oh, Kev. Are we going to see Kev in season 3? So, like, not to go too much, we haven't watched ahead. All of season 3 is currently available to you right now to go watch. We've only seen episode 1. I don't know what happens. Are we going to see Kev this episode or this season?
I would think so.
Okay. I'd be surprised if we did. He's been such a major part, even in his absence, but he's been like in multiple episodes, both seasons. I can't say they brought back Bootsy Tings for this episode and we're not going to see Kev at all.
Hey, listen, Bootsy Tings, AKA Lil Stinker, has been a pivotal part of the success of G5E since episode 1 of season 1. He's been pivotal. Booty Tings.
We'll get to him. But also, one thing from the scene is kind of a thread throughout the episode. Wiki is trying to get Dawn to like take charge of things, and so she's asking her if she followed up on the leads that Wiki sent to Dawn, and Dawn's like, "You mean the website for Red Rocks and like the Wikipedia page for Radio City Music Hall?"
Gotta follow up on those leads, Dawn. Come on. You're slacking.
Yeah, so she'll continue to try to get Dawn to do stuff. But Dawn, on the other hand, is like thrilled to be having downtime right now. Like, she is loving this Fort Worth hotel life. And she's talking to Gloria. And Gloria is leaving a message for the woman that she was with last night. And she's trying to be casual about it, but it's really bad. And she ends it with whatevs.cash.
Yeah, we get a couple different dot cash little plugs here this episode. What is a dot cash? What is, do we know? Is that a thing? Is that like a, are kids saying that these days? Is that like, what is that? Am I old?
I mean, you know, I'm the one to come to know what the kids are saying.
Yeah, what are the kids saying, Todd? What's the lingo on the street?
Yeah, because, you know, me and Gloria, we're hip with the kids' lingos these days. Yeah, I've never heard of dot cash before, but that means nothing.
Yeah. Lindy, do you say dot cash?
I'm gonna now. But no, I'd never heard it before. Mm. Or I don't think. But I'm not very cool. I don't know.
We're not the coolest people in the world on this podcast, to be honest with you. Like,
what? We're covering musical TV series, Adam. How are we not the coolest people around?
That's true. We are now podcasting about like our fourth musical TV series. We really
and we're just gonna keep on going.
Yeah, we're not no sign of stopping. It's not even close, actually. If anything, we just locked in more episodes, so we're really I don't know. Dot cash.
Anyway,
what was the, what's like the phrase? Like, where does it, what part of speech is it? Like, is it like, where, how can I use this in a sentence?
Dot cash. Whatevs dot cash.
But like,
but he,
what does that mean?
Obviously.
Okay. I mean, dot cash.
It means like, where you're can cool. I... Like, you're chill. Everything's fine. What, it's whatevs dot cash.
It's fine dot cash, man.
Okay. Dot cash.
I'm just going up.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Dot cash. Now you got it. Dot cash.
All right. Thanks. Dot cash. We have to stop. Dot cash. All right. Okay.
Anyway, dot cash.
I hate us.
It's fine. We're done now. So at the, for their next show, it turns out the group had talked about getting there early to work on their set so that they can like fine tune it before they leave Fort Worth. But Summer was the only one who showed up. And so when Wiki gets there, it's just the two of them. And she's like, is this the first time we've been alone together? And Summer says there was one other time. And she's very specific. She was like, it was October 28th, 2001, which I was like, okay, there's something going on here. But then Dawn walks in and her hands are like stuck together with like eyelash glue. And Gloria's hair is like so big. And they're like, okay, we don't have time for this. We're going to work on our set tomorrow. We'll just sing Fort Worth tonight because that's what everyone wants while we're here.
Todd, how do you feel about the Fort Worth? There's a lot. I mean, there's so much Fort Worth going on in this episode and in this song. I think at one point they were like, we're just going to do a 40-minute version of Fort Worth. Like, that feels like a lot of Fort Worth, even for that, Fort Worth.
That feels like a lot. And they're, you know, reading off the Wikipedia page, reading hats, you know, naming streets. So, yeah, like I said, I live very close to Fort Worth and Dallas. I'm basically equidistant between the two of them. So there's actually a moment earlier whenever they talked about they're going to be like asked to cut the ribbon on a new on-ramp to I-35. And I live right off of I-35. So I'm like, hey, yeah, that's, you know, factually correct about I-35 going through Fort Worth. Although it is I-35 West specifically because I-35 East goes to Dallas. So they could have been a little bit more specific there, but I'll forgive them this time.
Oh, my God.
No, but I thought it was funny, especially like the whole F Dallas thing, you know, because I think I don't think there's like this huge Fort Worth Dallas rivalry, but I think there is a little bit of it. But I did appreciate getting to hear more of the Fort Worth song this time around. My favorite thing in this is never a Summer says, yeah, I'm the only one that showed up to practice. And it cuts to her on stage going, 1, 2, 3, 4. No one's there like, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And it cuts her telling Wiki, like, I stopped when I ran out of numbers.
What number?
Oh, that's what I was going to, I came here to ask this. I was like, we have to discuss how far did Summer get with counting?
We saw her get to 13. So that's where we saw her get to in the show. I don't know that it was much further than 13, to be honest with you.
I feel like she could have gotten into triple digits. I have faith.
Triple digits? You think she stood there and counted to triple digits?
She went till she ran out of numbers. And I think that Summer would know at least up into 100. Now, past 100, I don't know.
But then you're just repeating all the numbers that you said before, except with a 100 in front. So, like, then couldn't she get to 1,000?
In theory, but
that supports the theory that she got less than 100.
I think that it's like
she lost steam in the 60s.
I think she got like tripped up at like, oh man, I don't know what 53 is. Like, you know, like some, like, I think it's like some random number in there that she like was able to get to. It's like, man, this one's a real stumper. I can't, what comes after this?
I feel like she gets 100 and she's like, wait, do I just keep on going or do I, is there something else? I have more faith in her being able to get to that. But regardless, how do you run out of numbers, Summer? How do you run out of numbers? Other thing I like is whenever she knew the very exact date that the last time they were alone together, Wiki's response was, okay, stalker.
Honestly, it was a little stalkerish. Obviously, we're going to see the flashback of this at some point. I was surprised we didn't see it right away because they definitely set it up in the, like, the last time we were together, October 23rd, 2001. I thought we were going to go there immediately to the flashback of them together. And they didn't. They kind of let that be a little bit in suspense for at least the first part of this episode.
I appreciated that.
Oh, wow. Don't disagree so much, okay? I'm going to have to be in the middle here, all right? Don't you guys go too crazy hard at each other.
Oh, man. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate them, like, building up the mystery a little bit and building the drama of it. I thought that was, like, a fun little narrative thing.
This was, like, my least favorite part of the episode was that they had this, like, mystery with Summer going on. Because I was just, like, in the first scene, she's like, oh, I'm, like, worried I'll ruin the tour and say something wrong. And I was like, where did this fear come from? Obviously, like, she never mentioned this before. Like, this, I understand they're it's just a thing for this episode, but she's never talked about this before. She never thought about this when they were talking about the tour last season. And it just comes out of nowhere before she was even ever alone with Wiki. And I don't know. I just didn't love it. And I just wish they'd shown us what it was because it wasn't that big of a deal. So I don't know why they, you know, try to create suspense the whole episode. But that, that's just me.
Well, I just have to say that I have no feelings about this. At all.
Classic fence sitter Adam.
Strongly. Man. I have no opinion whatsoever on this particular thing.
One of these days we're going to give you to give a take, Adam. One of these days.
I thought it was fine. I didn't love it. I didn't appreciate it and I was surprised by it and I was noted that I was surprised by it, but I don't think it added anything to the to the episode by making us wait for it. Like, I don't think it was a bad choice, but I don't think it was a good one. Like, I don't think it, like, helped the episode by, like, making us wait for it. Because I think I agree with you, Lindy. It was, like, I wasn't, like, when they finally do reveal it, which we'll obviously get to later, I wasn't like, oh my god, what a huge, like, big thing this was. I can't believe that they, like, what a reveal at the end of this episode. It was just sort of like, oh, okay, like, that's where we're going. We already knew that, like, Wiki left the group, and so, like, this isn't, like, a huge, big surprise, so.
Well,
you know,
no, but the fact that it was possibly not just her ego going off, that she was like pushed that way by someone else, I think is like, it's new
generous
information.
Though it's not like someone was like, you should go,
it's Summer's interpretation, like, of it. It's Summer feeling like she caused things to go wrong. Summer who has zero faith in herself. Summer who wasn't even going on the tour because she's like, all I do is the feminazi phrases and, you know, we don't even do those anymore. You know, Summer doesn't believe in herself a lot of the time in terms of the group, so she's worried that she's gonna mess things up again like she messed things up before. So yeah, I don't know, it works for me.
Fair enough. So then after the show, which went great, everyone loved their, you know, 45 minute version of Fort Worth, Bootsy walks in, and he walks in on top of pillows because he doesn't want his shoes to touch the floor. And then he talks to the group, but it's in this, you know, weird way where everything he says makes one of them feel bad about their specific insecurity that's going on right in this moment. So you know, he tells Wiki hears like, oh, this must feel so good to be on stage after so many years of rejection. And, you know, when you're going to different cities, it's a pressure cooker and someone might say the wrong thing. And of course, that scares Summer and just things like that. And so they're all like, you know, a little bit worried after he says all these things. But then they like turn on him. They tell him, you're wrong. Like, you should leave. Gloria kicks all his pillows out of the way, but then he can't leave. So then they leave.
Yeah. The example that gets Dawn is like, you go on tour, so much pressure. It's like managing a restaurant or raising a kid or both at once. Those are pretty weird examples, though. I'm pretty high, but it's just like playing the super specific examples for Dawn there. I think the thing that made me laugh the most in this scene is something that was actually in the trailer for the season. Whenever they first get off stage and Wiki's like, I haven't received that big an ovation since I was asked to leave a plane. It's just like perfect Wiki line.
I mean, no surprise for me. I love the Gloria stuff where she's like getting all upset and kicking the pillows around. And it's like, get your wrong ass opinions out of here. And it's like, very clearly his opinions and like thoughts are spot on for this group. And she's like, get out of here. Pillows seem like, number one, the most inefficient way to do this. If you're trying to not step on the ground, having someone go and pick up pillows, but then also, you don't need that many pillows. Like, he was like, I can't believe we ran out of pillows to get all the way there. What do you have, an infinite supply of pillows? You're not like, only you need like four pillows and two people. You like move the back pillow to the front and then the new back one, you like, you keep moving. You have to recycle the pillows, right? And like cycle through them. You can't just be like doling out pillows just like left and right there. You have to, you know, reuse the pillows. But
hey, this is Bootsy. Yeah, who am I? You know, his shoes deserve fresh pillows for every step that he takes.
He's gonna break an ankle. Yeah. Oh my gosh, stepping on a pillow. I mean, he's gonna break his ankles for sure.
Hey, Kim Jong-un wore those and he hit home one on the sun, okay? Those are super special shoes. Yeah,
you got sold a bill of goods there, Bootsy. He really, oh man.
I did think it was interesting that the girls like turned on him here, because like we kind of joked about before, but he is like a big reason why they are successful on multiple levels. Like every time he appears, like he's involved in them like getting like one step further up the ladder in one way or another. And for them to kind of like turn and yell at him, I'm like, hey, have they burned this bridge, or is he going to completely forget about it because he is pretty high right now? I thought it's interesting to have them all actually kind of like yell at him and kind of be mad at him, and just curious if that will come back the next time he shows up, or if it'll be like water under the bridge.
Is he gonna show up again? Are we gonna see more Bootsy Tings in season 3?
I mean we've seen him at least twice each season so far, so it wouldn't surprise me if he pops up in the finale yet again.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see them bringing him back for this episode for one scene and then nothing else the rest of the season. I'm sure he'll pop up again.
Okay, I'll say no. Why not? You know, just have the alternative there. Yeah, yeah, I'll say no.
We got Adam to make a, you know.
Yeah, finally going out on a little bit of a limb here. No more Bootsy Tings.
We shall see. So then we get a scene where Summer is talking to Percy. That's their driver. Who they, what was it called? What was the prank show called?
It was P-Bag, Prank P-Bag. Bag Girl.
Oh, yeah, they P-Bagged him, yeah.
They P-Bagged him.
Pew, pew, pew.
That was Todd, everyone.
Yeah, that was Todd. Do you think people knew that was Todd that just did that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do know.
I just wanted to specify so he gets credit. So
yeah, that's why.
Yeah, credit.
That's why. So people didn't know that, you know, people didn't think it was you, Lindy. It was just like, let me just give Todd the credit for this. Yeah, that's so generous of you to offer him the credit for that.
Wow, you got me. I don't know.
Pew, 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 pew.
That was Adam.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway. You know, Summer's telling Percy about how the last time she was alone with Wiki, you know, October 28th, 2001, she accidentally convinced her to leave the group. So we see the flashback of, actually, I don't think, do we see it yet? No, we see it later.
It's later.
Yeah, okay, she just says it now. That's it. She says it. Yeah, so this is the thing. She references the date and then she says what she did and then we see the flashback later. It's like, a, it, you know, It's a, I don't know. It's not the sequence that I would have gone with. I think I'm like very much Team Lindy now. I think I was more in the middle before, more as
how
the
refreshing.
Bit, yeah, I don't know. Like maybe you get rid, or you combine maybe the first two of these before we like you know, because it's like we hear about the date and then we like this is what happened and then later we see the flashback. I don't know. Combine those first two, I think, and I'm on board. Or maybe all three. just give us the flashback
just
at the beginning.
Just make it a mystery. It wasn't that exciting.
Well, it wasn't even really a mystery at this point, right? Because this is like the reveal.
This, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. So like this is the reveal. It's no longer really a mystery after this point.
But it was, and it didn't need to be. But anyway, doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I would call it a mystery after this point.
No.
I'm saying it was when they introduced it earlier in the episode.
Yeah, yeah. They were definitely trying to shroud it in like, oh, Summer's being kind of weird and like that's awkward, I mean, about this thing. But then at this point, we know what it is. So if anything, this is just like a missed opportunity of like, let's have the flashback at the beginning, because I think it would have been funnier too. Because like, I think the flashback could have been funnier had we not like known the, I don't know. I agree with you, Lindy, is what I'm trying to say.
Ultimately. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and
no problem.
You're just bad at saying it because it doesn't happen
it's
very much.
It's so abnormal for me to be on this. Yeah. Pew, 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 pew.
Oh my gosh.
That was Lindy, by the way.
You'll know when it's me.
Oh, yeah.
We won't have to announce it.
Okay.
So Dawn is on the phone with her husband, Scott. He popped up for this one thing in this episode. So he's telling her that Max, their son, lost the class hamster. And he also asks if he can watch New The Crown without her. And when Dawn hears that there's new episodes of The Crown, she's like, okay, love you, bye. Because she wants to watch it herself. So that's funny. And then she runs into Gloria, who's trying to... like act like, oh, it's so easy for her to like move on from her one night stand and find another woman, and she's obviously having a tough time. She's very worried about that first woman and how her meeting went. You know, she's very invested very quickly.
Yeah. Are you guys big Crown people?
I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
Me either.
None of us have ever seen The Crown. Okay, Sarah's like big on The Crown. I also think it's a Netflix show, right? So it's we get some of that Netflix cross.
It is, yeah.
It's a Netflix show. So imagine if this were still on Peacock, it would have been. There's a new episode of Couple to Thruple on. Can we watch that or stuff like that? What do you guys your feelings about like having to watch shows with like a partner? This is like a very weird thing in this household because we both can watch shows very quickly, but we do it at very different times. Sarah will watch shows like all throughout the day, you know, watch whatever. She'll like have shows on all the time. And I like really can't watch shows throughout the day, but I will absolutely smash through seasons of shows at night while she like goes to sleep at like 8:15 PM. And so we really can't like watch shows together unless it's like an Amazing Race or a Survivor or something where it's like once a week. Like we have to, like, I can't like start, we can't both be simultaneously starting a new show together unless one of us has already seen it. Like we're doing Veronica Mars, but she can just do it at her time because I've already seen it. Or like with, you know, shows that I'm like Shameless, I'm watching for the first time. Like, you know what I mean? Like we can't start a new show together that neither of us have never seen because it's very stressful. You can't like watch it all together. Lindy, do you have these experiences?
Yeah, I mean, it is a thing. If there's a show you want to watch, but you know your partner wants to watch it too, you can't do it without them. Like, yeah. That'd be like a mini betrayal. So you have to wait, and it can be tough.
Yeah, it's a tough lifetime.
Yep. I feel for you. My heart bleeds for both of you. It's a rough life.
It's hard, not good.
I wasn't saying, I was, it's not a huge problem. It's fine.
Dot cash.
Whatevs, dot cash. Oh, we're good. Speaking of cash, here's an ad break.
I was so hoping you would do that. I was so hoping you would do that.
So we're back, dot cash.
We might have to scrap this whole thing. I don't know.
Whole podcast?
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, guys. Whirlwind's done. This is just...
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I take it back. I'll try again. Welcome back to...
I'm not cutting any of that, by the way. Okay, we already knew that, but I just want you to know, like, we're still going.
Adam will never cut out anything in this podcast.
No. I mean, I make very few edits, but yeah.
Anyway, so then Wiki is at the hotel, that, you know, the dad, divorced dad's sweetlets, and she sees his dad in a fight with his kid, because the kid, you know, is mad at his dad, basically, and Wiki goes over trying to defend him, like, he just needs some time to, like, figure this all out, obviously projecting her problems onto him, but the kid is, the kid has some valid points when he's talking about his mom's boyfriend is taking big swings. He just bought, like, his second party bus for his business. And the dad is like, you know what? Like, my kid's right. I've been staying here for 6 years. And he's too comfortable. And this is horrifying for Wiki. She's like, I can't turn into this, of course. Okay, first things first. This kid says his mom's boyfriend, Greg, has a party bus business. Do we think there's any universe in which this is one Greg Serrano from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, who went to business school and once had a very, you know, memorable day on a party bus? Do we think he turned his life around, started dating Tyler's mom, and started his own business renting out party buses? I think yes.
I think we need to manifest it. I think we need to manifest Greg popping up on the show.
It feels unlikely, but not impossible. It's like kind of where I'll go here. It feels like it's very unlikely, but now that it's a Netflix show, it's not. I don't think it's impossible. They have the money for it somewhere. They could get him.
Yeah, and that'd be a really interesting continuation of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend universe here on Girls 5 Eva. And how fun would that be? I just thought that was so funny. I was like, all these little details. This reminds me of someone. But yeah, I think Wiki, you can't step into an argument between a dad and his child at the divorced dad's sweetlets. Like, you can't be defending the dad here, like, without knowing the context.
Especially with what she says.
I do love that she, like, accused, maybe the divorce was your fault.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
the kid's fault. I don't know. It certainly could have been. I don't know. That kid could have caused it.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, probably we're not going to be blaming kids for that, okay?
Are we blaming the dad?
Well, you know, he's been living at the divorced dad's sweetlets for 6 years, so I don't know. Isn't that the dad who was looking for the vending machine gift, or was that a different guy?
I think it was. I think it's the same dad.
Yeah, so... And he
bought a present,
that his kid is right.
Yeah, he did, like, buy a present, though, I think. So, good for him.
But we're not sure how late the present was, or even early. We just know he thought it was the 28th and got panicked, and Somerset was the 5th. So, yeah, probably a little late. Mm.
If this weren't a comedy, this scene would be sad. So let's move on. So Dawn is living her life. She's loving it. She's watching Fake the Crown. So this apparently, you know, they've gotten to the 2000s and Prince Andrew has 72 stuffed animals. And he's just talking about them. And Dawn is loving this. Would you all watch this?
I mean, I don't watch The Crown, and this is, like, pretty close to what I would guess The Crown is. I don't know. Yep. Maybe I should, like, add that to my watch list. Sarah loves, or I guess, like, maybe loved. I don't know. She's watched all of The Crown. She's been on Crown podcast before, so I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, better or worse. I don't know. It's not. It just doesn't seem like a show that I'd be interested in. I just don't care about the royal family. I don't know how. Yeah. I just don't.
Adam has to whisper. I do.
It's kind of a dangerous thing to say, and I don't think she will ever listen to this podcast. I simply don't care about this family, okay? They're very evil. They do bad things to basically everyone. That's like... Anyway, the crown.
Your secret's safe with us.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, it's not. We all know it's not. Okay, but
the problem is, like, even feel, so. Yeah, even though you're whispering, Sarah is in the other room listening in right now, which we actually have like live proof of that, as Sarah has been posting in the World One Podcast Discord, commenting on comments that Adam is saying right now.
Yeah, she does that from time to time, but you know, it's okay. Everything's fine. I don't think I'm watching The Crown anytime soon. You guys, would you ever watch The Crown? Should we cover The Crown?
Those are two different questions. No, we should not cover it. I doubt they burst into song.
They could, though. That actually would be kind of like pretty, you know, rando British, like just I don't know.
If they do burst into song, we could cover it.
Okay.
But would I ever watch it? I mean, if someone was like, you really need to watch this, it's getting so good, like, maybe I would, but right now it's really not really.
Well, I think this is like the final season, right? Like, they're done. Even though I feel like there's big drama right now that they really that they really should be doing on the show. I think this is like the final season of the show, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's just not one of the genres that I'm super interested in. Even like taking out the royals of it all, which I just don't really care that much about the royals of it all. But, you know, depictions of real life people, like those biopic type thing as a TV series, very rarely is it going to be something that I'm super interested in unless it's like a really gripping a story. Like something like The Crowded Room, which is like it's based on a true story, but it's like a really interesting thing. I think like things are more like, you know, dramatic in that sense, like more thriller, mystery, real life stuff I'd be more interested in. But the in and outs of palace intrigue, not my favorite thing in general, and for it to be based on real life people, even less so.
I just have to point out that Sarah's live commentary is saying that she doesn't think you've gotten the issue correct. She says that there's just not a show that neither of you have seen that you both are interested in.
Yeah, well, she can come onto the podcast and say that then. You know, we don't need this live peanut gallery here, okay? There's plenty of shows out there that we could be watching.
Well, yeah, I've got to think of some to recommend them.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen a lot of shows. There's a lot of shows out there that I haven't seen. They don't call me TV Adam.
I mean, Gotham is right there, guys.
Yeah, that's true. Neither of us have seen Gotham. we could binge Gotham. Oh my god.
Or fake The Crown, but this, I don't know, this looks pretty boring to me. But Wiki bursts in and, you know, she wants Dawn again to kind of like take care of everything, take charge, like get them out of here. She says this place is a trap, but Dawn doesn't want to leave. She's enjoying the break. She's like, I haven't had a break in so long. Like, this is great.
Yeah. Earlier with Gloria, Dawn was struggling to remember the word for bath. You know what a bath was, and then wound up like taking like a chair into the shower because it's a stand-up shower. And here she's like, oh, I just realized I can maybe use a series of mirrors to watch The Crown from the bath. So she's trying to take full advantage of her leisure time here.
So Wiki storms out and then tries to get Summer's help with getting them out of Fort Worth. But Summer starts telling her how she's, you know, nervous to be alone with her. And that's when we see the flashback in 2001, you know, Summer telling Wiki that, you know, you have it all. Like, you know, we're going to be fine because we have you. Like, you've got it all. You're our Beyonce, our Gwen Stefani. And this makes Wiki realize, like, yeah, you're right. Like, I should go solo. And Summer was disappointed then, and this has haunted her ever since. She's so worried about saying something wrong again that will make Wiki leave the group again. So Summer brings this up, and Wiki, you know, today Wiki says, oh, you're right, and like leaves. And Summer is so worried that she's done the same thing again.
Yeah. And so for me, this is why I think the flashback needed to happen at this point, because it was like her telling Wiki, reminding Wiki of exactly what had happened, and then like seeing the whole thing and then come back to, because Wiki has no memory of any of this. Wiki doesn't remember being alone with Summer like earlier in the episode. So the flashback for me needed to happen. Maybe they could have structured it differently and had this whole thing happen earlier, but then you have Wiki wanting to quit earlier on. But I think that the flashback at least needed to happen here, so you have Summer going, we were alone one time before, that's never convinced you to quit the band, and then we see the whole conversation, her reminding Wiki of the entire conversation, and then come back to the present, and then Wiki goes off to supposedly quit the band, even though it's very obviously that's not what she's going to do this time around. So for me, that's why I think structurally it makes sense to have the flashback now and not show it earlier. Beyond that, my favorite thing in this scene is whenever a Wiki like comes in and like Summer is asleep with some sort of weird mask thing on. I have no idea what sort of like cosmetic treatment thing this is. It's a very creepy looking mask. It's very kind of scary. Looks like something like a serial killer might wear in a horror movie. But she bursts into the room and she's like, Summer, you have to be the Dawn. I can't do it. It would wreck my posture. And Summer's response is like, okay, I can do it. Chris Pratt plays Mario. There's no rules when it comes to Italians.
Kind of true, to be honest with you. If Chris Pratt can play Mario, then, you know, anything could really happen here. I think I see your point about the flashback. The one thing that I feel very firm on that it ruins, not ruins, but that it like doesn't hit the full effect for me is the humor of the flashback. I think that like it would have been funny had we seen Summer like sort of flashback and be like, you're like the Beyonce or the Gwen Stefani. It wasn't like as funny to me with this flashback at the end because of the juxtaposition of like what it's setting up in the present day scene. And like maybe it just loses the humor. But I guess in terms of the efficacy of like Summer feeling bad about what she did and like having that guilt carry with her, okay, like I just don't think it worked as well for me personally, but I guess I could see it.
Yeah, and for me, like the humor of the Beyonce, Gwen Stefani, Timberlake, all of that stuff still works. So like different strokes, different folks. Another thing I liked in the flashback was Wiki is wearing like this jacket that's made of like her sleeves are made out of bubble wrap, and as she goes to hug Summer, the bubble wrap is popping the entire time she's hugging her. I thought it was like a nice little subtle joke there.
Yeah, that was funny. And then we go over to Gloria, who wakes up with another woman. And the woman goes to leave, and then Gloria basically teleports from the bed to blocking the door with a guitar and sings her a song about how there are no strings attached. It's very, very creepy. And so the woman is like, you know, I think we want different things. I have a meeting, so I'm gonna go.
And then she starts to ask a question about the song. So how did the coroner get on the plane? You know, never mind.
Adam.
I love this so much, especially as she's leaving. Clary's like, I love you. Nah, prank. Let me draw you. I love this. I don't know how compelling it is in terms of like Gloria is realizing that she is not the kind of person that can just sort of like go around and sleep with whoever. She's like very, very commitment focused and like whatever. That's fine. Like be who you want to be, but don't try and be someone you're not, I guess. But like, it was very funny to me, even if not showing a lot of growth, which is, you know, kind of been the MO for Gloria. Like, she makes me laugh all the time. I don't know that we've really gone anywhere with the character, but she's hilarious to me. So this certainly, like, worked. The let me draw you at the end was so funny.
As usual, Adam loves Gloria. And Todd and I can't reach that level of Gloria love. I thought it was funny, but, you know, I'm not, like, you know, obsessed with her as much, but I did think it was really funny when she basically like vanished from the bed and appeared in front of the door, and the woman was like, wait, how did you do that?
Yeah, that was one of the funniest things in the episode, was the teleportation with the guitar suddenly in her hands so she could start singing the song. That was great.
Yeah, so after this experience, Gloria, she goes and tells Dawn, like, I'm all string, like, as opposed to no strings attached. She's all strings attached, like, it's so easy for her. And so Dawn is telling her, I guess Dawn has been so focused on the crown that she's like, yeah, so, like, Prince Andrew, every night he chooses one stuffed animal to be, you know, the Lord of Cuddles, and he has a hard time parting with them in the morning, but, you know, he does it. So, like, to help Gloria through this. And so Gloria decides that she's going to treat each one-night stand like a mini relationship so that she can go and move on to the next one. So she kind of, like, laments the breakup and then is, like, fast forward. Okay, I'm ready to go. interesting strategy.
It was a pretty good fast forward noise too. I was kind of impressed by the noises she was able to. I don't think I could do it. Like, what's a fast forward noise? Could you?
I
make
just
one?
Did one and it was really bad. So
yeah. I don't know. I like, nah, it's like, yeah. I got nothing. I have nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, no, that's horrible.
I don't know. Like, I think yeah. she did a good job. You know, it's not as she easy did. As it might seem. Yeah, it's not as easy. I also don't know how good of advice this is. Like, I don't know that this is like good advice in terms of this, but maybe it works for her. Maybe this will be like an effective way for her to accomplish her goal of sleeping around, I guess. I mean,
I think there's some funny bits in it, but I'm not really enjoying this glorious storyline in general. Like, I don't know. It's just not really working for me. Like, the story itself. I mean, there are like some funny bits in it because Gloria is funny, but it's not my favorite plot, like, in this episode. The one thing I have to point out in the scene, which just maybe I didn't notice it the first time I watched, but the second time I watched, I noticed it. As, you know, whenever Gloria comes in, you know, it's like breakfast time and Dawn's at the breakfast bar and she's like fixing some like little Eggo waffle things for the continental breakfast. And then she's putting them in her shirt, like shoulder pads, and going, yes. Ooh, that's nice. So bizarre.
I was gonna ask, like, did anyone understand this? Was this a joke earlier and they're paying it off? Or is this just a random
comfort.
Gag?
This is just the height of comfort, Lindy. Have you never made shoulder pancakes?
I haven't, but
you should try it. Okay. I would recommend it more
Have
than
you
the
done
crown.
It?
A couple times. Well, one for each shoulder.
Do you know the date? Was it October 28th?
Yeah. Just the warm on the shoulder, I guess. Like a warm compress, I guess, is like the, I don't know. Just comfort. You know, people do weird things when they're in like a spa situation. Maybe this is like the divorced dad's version of cucumbers on the eyes.
Sure.
Maybe. You know? Yeah, I know. It was just a complete non sequitur. I don't think it was a callback to anything. It was just Dawn trying to live her best life. And apparently Dawn's best life includes taking waffles and putting them on your shoulders.
I respect it.
I think they were pancakes.
Were they?
I thought so.
I feel like I would not want hotel pancakes. Hotel waffles could be elite. Hotel pancakes. How are we making those? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think I thought they were the waffles just because you typically, because it seemed like she was getting them out of like a toaster oven type thing, I thought. And that's usually like more of a like Eggo waffle type thing, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I thought they were like flat like pancakes. I didn't see any grooves that waffles would have.
Yeah.
This is very important.
Yeah, so. I have no clue. Yeah. It truly could not matter less. That cash.
Adam. Oh my goodness. Okay. So Summer is really upset. She's telling Dawn and Gloria that she made Wiki quit the group again. And then Wiki comes up and she says, "This is goodbye to Fort Worth." Like, she takes a huge pause because Summer thinks she's leaving the group. But no, she's just telling them that they're leaving Fort Worth because she took a big swing and she put a down payment on a venue in 6 months at Radio City Music Hall on November 23rd. And Summer's like, "Isn't that Thanksgiving?" And Wiki's like, "Oh, that would explain why it was available." And she says that if they can't fill the venue, they'll owe them $570,000. And so Wiki's like, "Consider our fire lit now. You're welcome."
Am I the only one that was like, $570,000 actually does not seem like a crazy amount for booking Radio City Music Hall on any day of the year, I guess. I don't know. Just feels like that would be more, theoretically. Okay, so we're flashing forward 6 months at some point here, and Dawn is going to be going into labor the night of this performance on Thanksgiving. Yeah, like that's where we're headed.
More than likely. I'm hoping the show does not go down that route. I mean, they surprised me with how the season 2 finale went with the pregnancy and all. So I'm hoping that they will not fall down this path. But I know a friend of the pod, Emily, made like a similar prediction.
I just don't know. And if they don't do that, I don't know how else they like, I don't know how else it's done. And maybe the timing is like not quite, I don't know how much time exactly has passed between when Dawn found out she got pregnant. Like, is 6 months going to be before she would be due? Like, is this going to be a super pregnant Dawn at Radio City Music Hall? Are we even going to Radio? Like, is that even going to happen? Like, are we, I feel like we're going to end up there probably at the end of the season, like, is my guess. She's got to just like miss the show because she's pregnant or something. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how else this goes. Would you hate that, Lindy? If that's the end of the season in some capacity, would you hate that?
I don't think I would hate it, but I think that's so predictable that they're going to subvert that somehow. I don't think that's exactly
it's
how it
six
would go.
Episodes is like the other thing that is making me think, like, I don't know how we even have time to subvert it in a way that would feel good. But maybe, I mean, it's certainly possible. I'm very open, but just like from just episode one, it's like a very clear yellow brick road of here is 6 months from now. This seems like where it's gonna go.
Yeah, I mean, I think she definitely will be like 9 months pregnant at the time.
Oh yeah.
It's just like how they handle it is going to be the thing. And I have fear, I don't want her to like go into labor on stage. I don't want that to be the thing because that feels like very predictable. Or if that, or her having to miss it because she's going into labor, either one of those feels just like the most predictable route you do. How are they going to subvert it? I don't know. Maybe they won't subvert it. Maybe she'll be performing like from her hospital bed on the big giant screen afterwards.
They do the video like they did with Ashley and just bring her out like the tech or whatever it is, the little animation.
The hologram.
Thing. Yeah.
So
or Ashley comes in and takes her place.
Okay. I was thinking that too, to be honest with you. But I was like, this isn't Previous Little Liars. This isn't the place to throw out.
They didn't do that on Pretty Little Liars. No one, Ashley's not coming out to take their place. It's not like Allison is going to school and having sex with Ezra anytime soon. Like, that's not what's going on here. But I don't know. Ashley could take the place. I like that as a theory. Yeah. .cash, baby.
And yeah, at the very end, Wiki's walking out the doors, and when she approaches an automatic door, she says, "Door open," and then it does. I thought that was a good Wiki moment. So that was the end of the episode, except over the end credits, which now that we're on Netflix, you have to click watch credits so that it doesn't just automatically go to the next one after like 2 seconds.
Really annoying. Really. Sometimes Netflix is better about that. Sometimes Netflix will not do that if there is stuff in the end credits. But this one, yeah, I had to like go back and like fast forward to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Because it started talking, oh, something's happening. And then it started to skip to the next episode. Like, no, give me a little bit more time to actually hit the button one way or the other.
Like, I need time to hit the button. Exactly. Yeah. But I did. Crisis averted. And the end credits have like a listing basically of all of the stuffed animal names. So I wrote down some of my favorites. I don't know if anyone else did, but no.
Certainly not. No. Yeah, no.
I spent all my energy on Gloria's list writing things down. So.
Exactly. So same thing, just different thing. That made sense. Okay.
What?
Same thing but different thing, you know.
That's a different thing. It's
what I meant was Todd and I,
we did both... the same thing for different things.
Yes, thank you. See, Todd gets it. Okay.
Okay. All right. What's your favorite on this list, Lindy?
Okay, here were some of my favorites: Snuggly Bear, Duchess Frog, Major Fluffy, Prime Minister Buttercup, Sploosh the Dolphin. And Yellow Bear, who's a goat.
Nice. Yeah. There was one that was like Viscount Cuddles or something that I liked. Yeah.
Yeah. I did like the little cutaways to that throughout the episode. The fact that he has 72 stuffed animals, and that's like even the most upsetting thing about him, I think was like a really fun line. But also the scene where he's like yelling at the servant because they weren't paying attention to I can't remember what the stuffy chart, because two of the stuffed animals were next to each other because. But they shouldn't have been because they were in a fight.
I also think, what isn't the list at the end? Wasn't he like, he named one and was like, who I don't like or something?
Yeah. I also like they did cut to him, like during the Gloria thing, like him talking to the stuffed animals just the way that Gloria talked to the woman, you know.
I love you, prank. Oh, man.
And that's our episode.
That's the episode, season 3, episode 1 of Girls 5 Eva. Only 5 more episodes to go in season 2. Season 3, rather. And like I said, all of this is currently available to you. You could go binge all of season 3, which I have to imagine most people are doing. But we're just going to go episode by episode. We're not spoiled. I'm not spoiled. You guys spoiled on anything?
Nope.
I'm
not spoiled. It's been very hard to not click various different spoiler texts as other people have been watching it. And I've seen a couple tweets that I've had to very quickly pass by.
That happened to me too, but I think people were saying like really good things.
They
should be watching this, and I was like, I gotta avert my eyes because we're all good. Watch it.
Yeah, I don't want to see this, but I will watch the show eventually, I promise. Yeah. So
the only thing I know is that the AV Club gave it like a really good rating and a really good review, so
I think it was a strong start. I really do. Unfortunately, that is not going to be reflected in the scores that we are about to give for the 3, I suppose, songs for this episode. So the first one, Tap Into Your Fort Worth. Now, we had like heard previous little iterations of Fort Worth, and we got more of it this time. I'm still maybe not super convinced that we've gotten like the full, just clean version of this song, but I do think it's worth rating here at the start because they did a 40-minute version of it. And I mean, God bless. Fort Worth. Todd, it's very fitting here to start with you. Tap Into Your Fort Worth. What'd you think?
I think it's funny. I think that I enjoy the parts where they're like, you know, we don't have a hipsters like Austin. We don't have this like Boston. We don't have tech bros like Austin. We don't have this like Boston. Like, yeah. Oh, we found out there's a rhyme between Austin and Boston. We're just going to use it over and over again. That made me laugh. I mean, there's some really funny lines here. But overall, it's not the best song that they've done. I wouldn't call it like top tier, but it was enough to give it like more than a 3, but not much more than a 3, I think. I'm probably gonna give it like a 3.25.
Okay, you gave it a 3 last time. Linda, you also gave it a 3 last time we did this. Has your score changed at all?
Oh, actually, yeah, it has. I think I really enjoyed it in this episode. I thought there was great energy. I thought it was really funny. I like when they did the long version and Dawn was like reading facts off the Wikipedia about serial killers. So I thought this was fun. So I'm going to give it, 4.
A 4 from Wendy. Holy smokes, that's like your highest score of the whole series. That's
no, it's not.
There's a higher score less episode.
I only gave it a 2 the first time. I do like this version a little bit better. I think like the vamping and improv is fun on stage. This is still like not a top tier song for me though. So I'm only at a 2.5. I will give it a 0.5 bump, but only a 2.5 for me. Yesternights is something that I suppose we can rate. We didn't get a ton of it, but Lindy, it's your main girl, Wiki, and she's back singing Yesternights with a, you know, placeholder verse 3 where she's vamping.
Yeah, obviously I love Wiki, but like you just said, this was a placeholder song, so it's not that great. So I'm going to go with like 2.5.
Yeah, I think I'm just under you at a 2. This was like a whatever. Like, Wiki has a good voice, and that means that like I'm probably not going to give her lower than a 2. But also, this doesn't really deserve much more. So, Todd, Yesternights.
Yeah, I think I'm probably like close to Linda. I think it's like maybe a 2.4. The vamping part was funny, and that's like the only really clever, funny part about the actual song itself is just like there. So it's not really a funny song. It's funny whenever she's like having to make up lyrics in the middle to vamp for time. So that was funny, but overall, you know, it is mainly just like her voice that helps carry it.
Yeah, and then finally, No Strings Attached. I would give this a 4. However, Gloria is not actually playing the guitar, and we all know this is my like biggest pet peeve for these musical type shows. She's not actually playing the guitar, and if she's not, then admittedly the guitar was certainly more of like a prop in this instance than anything else, but you're still having an instrument in your hand and not playing it, and I hate that. That drives me absolutely nuts. So it's a full point down to a 3. Only a 3 from this would have gotten a 4, a full point knockdown for not playing the guitar. Lindy, your thoughts? No Strings Attached.
I love your consistent passion for that topic.
I am nothing if not consistent about that one particular
issue. It's true. didn't bother me, but It was funny, but it wasn't like incredible or anything. So I think I'm going to go like 3.5.
Okay. And Todd, finish us off.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in lockstep with Lindy there. It was like pretty funny, but not the funniest thing that we've seen from Gloria or the show. But it, the teleporting did it, and like suddenly bringing a wizard into the lyrics is probably my favorite thing about it. But yeah, 3.5 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very funny, and it was like very well sung too. Would have gone to 4, but alas, what can I do? I am hamstrung by my own rules that I have to follow religiously because I said so. Anyway, let's declare who topped our charts this episode, or rather who chopped our tarts, if you will, first episode. We will, though, for the first episode of season 3. This one might actually be a little difficult. Lindy, I want to start with you. Who topped your chart this week?
Of course you want to start with me, but I think I got my answer. I think this was a great Wiki episode. You know, she's Todd and I's favorite character. I think she had a great showing here. Made me laugh. Made me glad I was watching this new season of the show. So I'm just going to start strong with Wiki.
Love it. I'm glad you're watching the new season of the show too, Lindy. Todd, what about you? Who topped your charts?
So I was torn between two characters, and since Lindy gave points to one of them, I'm going to give the point to the other one. Summer topped my chart in this episode. Just, she made me laugh a lot in this episode with her, you know, chugging the drink and her paranoia and just everything with the Wiki storyline. It really made me laugh with Summer, and her, the way that she was like so disdainful of the divorced dad, but also like helped him out with what present to get, her line about Kev and the wigs. I think that Summer had some really good lines this episode. So Summer topped my chart.
I am very tempted to give this to Gloria, who yet again did make me laugh the most this episode and had some outstanding lines, but she did not top my charts this episode. You know who did? Dawn! Let's give Dawn a point here to start out season 3.
Wow.
I rarely give Dawn points. I don't think that she was the most compelling character in the first couple of seasons. I liked her here. She's on vacation, like kind of getting to do her own thing. The whole episode was not just, oh, I'm pregnant and this is going to be what's going on. It certainly subverted some of those expectations for me. I love the, you know, the crown stuff, as much as I don't, you know, really like the crown. Like, I liked like her stuff with it, the bath, which is just an elongated toilet that can make you feel good. She had some like good lines in there as well. So Give Me Dawn is topping my charts for what could potentially be the only time this season, but for the first time this season as well. So there you go.
Congrats to Dawn. And yeah. Adam, did you like it when she was really excited because none of her dreams had bees in them?
That's huge. Yeah. Huge when the dreams don't have bees. Yeah.
Yeah. And congrats to Dawn for actually getting a point this season after getting 0 points last season. So
yeah. I was close. I mean, you guys know how easy it is for me to get points to Gloria. It's not even a second thought. I was just, you know, hand them out. Who cares, you know?
I have to think that not playing the guitar factored in.
It hurt. It really hurt. If she was actually playing the guitar, this would have been a much tougher choice. But who knows? Who knows how many more points Dawn will get? I remember saying this before. I don't know if it was after season 1 or season 2. Dawn has the potential to sweep this category, like all throughout. She really does. Sarah Bareilles has the potential to be here all the time. We saw Dawn's Song of Fears in season 1. If we got like some iteration of that version of Dawn all throughout, man, it'd be so good. But here we go. Season 3, starting off strong. 3 different points. Dawn, Wiki, Summer. Only one in the main group that didn't get one is Gloria. So wow, what a world that we're living in. Who was our point leader last season, of course. So season 3, we're off to a strong start. Of course, only 6 episodes. We'll be back, of course, next week with future stuff, but there's so much else going on here. Lindy, what's up with you? Where can people find you?
Well, at our One Indescribable podcast Twitter at @1CXGPodcast and our Whirlwind podcast Twitter at WhirlwindPods.
Amazing. Todd, what about you? What do you got going on?
You can find me on most social media platforms at Librarian Todd, because Todd Librarian was too many characters. You can find me just in a few days with Tommy talking through X-Men, the animated series season 1 on TuneIn here on Whirlwind Podcasts.
Amazing, I'm Adam H. You can find me on Twitter, PanamanAdam1, as well as a couple other places here on Whirlwind. We're doing Inside the TARDIS Doctor Who with Melissa and Kevin. We're doing Whirlwind Investigations with Melissa doing Veronica Mars. Todd, you, Sarah, and I are doing Previously on Shameless. Right now we're on season one. Very fun time over there. And you can catch up with all of what's going on at Whirlwind Podcast, whirlwindpodcast.com. Send us a feedback, whirlwindpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, make sure you follow us on all the socials. That's what Wendy said as well. But we will be back here next week, the three of us, to talk about season 3, episode 2 of Girls 5 Ever. And until then, bye.